Breathe. In and out. I'm really glad you're here today. I am really, really glad you're here to hear this message, because you need to hear this message today. And if you are a guest with us today, I'm really super glad you're here. Max Lucado, who happens to be my favorite author, says, "We live in a culture where speed is king. I find myself in a hurry, even if there's no reason. We are an uptight generation of compulsive activists. There are 10 times more things to do in a day than any one person can do. And so we feel like we're always behind and we're always failing to do all we could. All we do is respond, respond, respond to stimuli. We want peace, but it just doesn't fit into our agenda. Peace calls for doing nothing sometimes. And we can't handle that. It doesn't work for us." Pascal, the great Christian philosopher and scientist, said, "Most of our troubles come from our inability to be still." Did you find that uncomfortable? I did not. If it was uncomfortable, why? Why was it uncomfortable? It was actually only 1 minute. I know it seemed like five, right? It was 1 minute. Alex Lickerman, MD, wrote a book called Happiness in This World, The Art of Silence. In it, he points to the reason why silence is uncomfortable. He says, because people abhor silence. They'll do just about anything to fill the emptiness because too much quiet is really unsettling. We feel like when we're home, we have to have the TV on or the radio. When we're driving, when we're walking, when we're running, when we're doing chores, just about anything. There's music of all kinds and noise that bombards us wherever we go. Department stores, if you notice that, at the mall, restaurants, gotta have music when you eat, at the grocery, even in elevators, got to have something that breaks up that silence. It's like we can't stand silence. We feel like we need to fill it with something. But that's not always true, is it? We feel comfortable being silent only when we're in the presence of someone we're comfortable with. And maybe that's why it wasn't horrible here, because this is a lovely family of faith, and to some extent we are comfortable with each other. And hopefully, if you're a guest, you feel that love. When we're with people, we're comfortable with, it really is nothing to just sit in the silence. Most of us have children, or children in our lives of some sort, who have one time or another come and crawled up in our laps. That is such a joy. Sometimes a child will crawl up in our lap and chatter away. Sometimes the child will ask for things. Sometimes the child will just talk about something that intrigues them or bothers them, which is always nice, too. And every once in a while, in a precious, supreme moment, a child will crawl up into our laps and just sit there. Just be. They don't want anything. They don't want to even talk about anything. They just want to be with you. They just want to sit with you. They just want to be held by you. Do you remember how it felt when that happened to you? There's nothing like having the feeling of a child that just wants to be with you, wants nothing from you but your presence. And that one action says, I love you. I trust you. I feel safe with you. There is nothing in this world that compares with that feeling. Now, when we pray, what is it we usually do? We talk at God, right? We say we talk to God, but really what we're doing is we're talking at God. We're filling that time with our words. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, because Jesus did say, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. But can you imagine what it must be like for God when just one child of his wants to just be in his presence and wants nothing more than to just silently sit with him? But how can we possibly do such a thing? In our key verse, God is telling us basically not just to be still, but to cease striving. It means that we struggle. My daughter was a struggler. I always wanted her to just sit in my lap and be still, but for those of you that know her, you know she can't be still. That's just an impossibility for her. And she would always almost like fight against me. We do the same. We struggle with God in so many ways we don't even think about. It's hard for us to sit still and quietly in God's presence. It's hard for us when God tells us what to do and we ignore it. Or when God tells us how to do something and we want to do it our own way, in our own timing. Or modify it. It's hard to sit still in God's presence when sin is knocking at the door of our heart and we want to answer it and invite it in. Or when we try to change others in our own power or image. Or when God's will takes a back seat to ours. Be still and know that I am God, is what our scripture tells us. And the only way to do that, the only way to be still in God's presence is to be comfortable with God, to be comfortable in his presence. Or if we learn to be comfortable in his presence. You see, the way to learn to truly be comfortable in God's presence is to practice being quiet with God. It's interesting that God knows that he needs to remind us to be still and to wait for him. Tons of scripture. I'll share a few with you. Psalm 4:4 says, "When you are on your beds, search your heart and be silent." Psalm 27:14 declares, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord." Psalm 62:2-5, King David tells us, "Truly God is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress and I will never be shaken." And David's saying this because he practices being still in God's presence. He knows how to be still. He says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him." Isaiah 40:31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." How many of you could use just an extra dose of energy and not feel weary? That'd be awesome. We need to be still. We need to be still in God's presence. Doing this, according to the scriptures, offers us strength and hope and God's peace. We know that to thrive, we must be still in God's presence. Back in the early Methodist church, the church had circuit riders. The circuit riders were preachers who were, back in the 1700s and 1800s, they rode from church to church because there were more churches than pastors. That's somewhat true today, although the horses look much different. But it's not unusual to have one pastor for a couple of churches. But back then, the circuit rider would travel from congregation to congregation. And one particular circuit rider was out one afternoon, and he came upon a man working in his field. And he wanted to start a conversation and perhaps invite him to church. And he said, "How's it going with you this fine day?" And the man replied, "I'm fine, but I'm busy. How about you?" And the circuit rider said, "Well, I'm doing all right, sir." And the man was realizing, you know, what the preacher did for a living, and he said, "You know, all you have to do is ride around on that horse thinking about God all day, while I have to sweat here in this field and then walk home afterward. Now, I don't think it's right that you should have things so easy while I have things so hard." The preacher responded, "You're right. You do work hard in the fields, and I admire that. But my kind of work is different. It's a different kind." "Yeah, sure," the man answered. "All you do is ride around thinking about God all the time. That's not hard." And the preacher said, "Well, it's harder than you think. I'll tell you what, just to prove how difficult it is, if you can think about God and nothing else for 1 minute, I'll give you my horse." So the farmer sat back, and he thought, "Well, this is going to be easy." He sat back, and 15 seconds passed by, and 30 seconds passed by, and then 45 seconds passed by, and he said, "Does the saddle come with it?" So I challenge you today, sometime today, to take 1 minute and to focus on God. It's a practice that grows. It's like lifting weights. Take 1 minute today, quietly, without your mind wandering, and focus on God. And next week we're going to talk about specific practices to do that. In our society, you know, it is hard. We're trained to think that if we're not actively doing something, we're being idle. or if we're not multitasking, we're not being efficient. We equate our value with how much we produce. And that's not what God intends. So this week, what I want us to do for the next 3 or 4 minutes is to take out your calendar. If you brought your planner or your calendar, I want you to take it out. If it's on your phone, take it out. If you need a calendar, we have one for you. Just raise your hand and one of the ushers will make sure that you get one. And then I want you to make sure that you bring your calendar or your planner next week as well. What I want you to do while the music plays is schedule 5 minutes this next week. Pick a day, any day. 5 minutes when you're going to shut off your electronics, when you know that you won't be disturbed, to be in God's presence, to focus on the things around you, and practice that grateful heart. And again, next week we'll talk about very specific practices. You know, when we're thirsty, we drink, right? When we're hungry, we eat. When we're tired, we sleep. We get those things. When we're spiritually hungry, we need to take time to be still in God's presence so that we can refresh our souls. Amen.